All right. Hi, everybody. This is Evan Mulch with the Berkshire Podcast. I'm a field coordinator for the John Birch Society, and I'm very excited to have a friend from Nevada on the conference call with us. Sean, you're out of Nevada. You've been involved in this fight for a number of years now, and you've recently invited Mark Meckler to a debate, and I want you to talk about that and talk about why it was so important to you to send the invitation out to Mark Meckler to see if he will debate you. And I understand that Robert Brown, a member of the John Birch Society, is also one that is going to be at the debate. But the question is whether or not Mark Meckler will show up. So anyways, thank you so much, Sean, for joining us.
Absolutely, Evan. Appreciate it. Yes, Robert's going to be the smart one with me in the debate. as you well know, he's got the professorial approach, has a lot of the stuff memorized, and is really good at explaining it. He was one of my mentors on Article 5 early on, along with Publius Hoodla, you know, your Hal Shirtliff, Richard Fry, and others. And I got into this fight 6 years ago last month. My central committee out here in Nevada, one of their county members challenged me to a debate. Initially, it sounded like a really good idea until a friend of mine said, well, you know, do your homework and read everything. And I did and found out just how bad it is. And for whatever reason, since then, it's just been an interest item of me, something I get, something I think I know, a new way to sell and work. And the recent experiences, several years ago, I was sued by a Convention of States lobbyist when I caught him on video lying to a legislator, which is a misdemeanor in Nevada, ironically. And then he, in 2018 and 19, basically we've got audio of him calling Robert Brown and I liars regarding the topic. So we agree that anybody, whether it's, you know, wise or unwise, can decline a debate. That's fine. We know what he's about. But when you start calling somebody liars, I think Americans have a fundamental sense of fairness that you need to man up, step up, and defend your accusations. And if you fail to, that sends a message. So this is kind of a move to get my group, Guard the Constitution, some exposure. I've been very happy with the leadership at JBS. We've had great discussions that they're willing to work and develop the relationship and trust between each other over time. I think that's good. But also to get Mark Meckler out there, press him on the issues. He was recently on their large talk radio show up in Boise. And over a period of a half hour, he got the host's name wrong three times and what state he was in twice. And he was obviously rattled. So I think we're going to see. We don't expect that he'll show up. We've heard nothing back from him. I did hear through your local JBS coordinator on the ground there who knows their local JBS guy. He really wanted to debate us. But I think it was more of an ego thing for him. So we tried to facilitate, said, look, if you want to contact COS headquarters and provide me an email saying that you're allowed to represent them, then we'll be happy to have you as an opponent. Mm-hmm. But if not, we're not going to do that. And of course, he didn't do that. And it became this drama thing because that happened to me in 2014. I debated in Carson City, Nevada. Meckler called, said he was going to show up and debate. Then 2 days later, he said he couldn't. It was a scheduling error. The local county person said, no, that's a lie. He put out a national alert not to engage you. And then they showed up some low-level guy that just barely knew his own name, much less Article 5. You know, I think we blew him out pretty well. And immediately they went to saying, see, Sean just beats people up. He harasses them. He doesn't know the issue and tried to discredit. So we're going to try to prevent that here. What we think is going to develop is we're going to just, Robert and I are going to have an interactive class with the attendees, and I think it'll be a little bit different style. We've been blessed to hear that several legislators up there are showing up. We know that the Convention of States in Idaho has said they have to get their bill draft offered by Thursday, the date of the debate. I think there's some significance there because we're going to change minds. And then we just learned that the Lieutenant Governor of Idaho is also going to attend, so we can use that to get more media and things like that this week.
Wow.
So, and then, like I said, JBS headquarters have been really generous saying, well, let's see what footage you get. And we might work together on doing various clips and things like that that can help other organizations out. And I'm really happy for that.
Well, I'm actually showing the article right now in the video of the article titled, Will Article 5 Convention Advocate Meckler Accept Debate Challenge? And so that was an article we wrote, looks like Thursday, January 16th, and that was written by Steve Bias. So for those that don't know and you're watching this, the New American Magazine is the John Birch Society magazine. So this was an article written by the society. And we were just wanting to raise awareness that this has taken place. And I when I first saw this, I thought this is gutsy, you know, because you sent him a certified letter. And so yep. there's no way Mark does not know about this debate challenge.
And, correct. And we will have we'll have exhibits at the debate site of COS headquarters and COS Idaho headquarters, both sent certified letters. And we've also loaded the sound clips on the internet of him calling us a liar, so that mm-hmm. is documented. So he can't weasel out.
Well, he's stuck in a really tough spot at this point. Your background is you've flown fighter jets, right? Isn't that your background?
No, actually, I was an enlisted air crew member on cargo aircraft in the airlift command.
All right, because I, you know, we're friends on Facebook. But you're a military veteran, right?
Yes, and I actually was stationed 3 years to the day at the Charleston Air Force Base there back in the 90s.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we may have somebody listening from that area that is it's a small world. Glad to know that you served, and thanks for doing what you did. And this is really your continuation of your service, right? You know, of helping to save America.
Right. Well, when I retired from the Air Force, you know, when you're out processing, they never tell you that your oath is over. Of course, till 55 years old, I believe it is, they can actually recall you if a major war developed. But just me personally, as who I am, I found a way to serve. I enjoy it. I know how people respect veterans until proven otherwise. And I appreciate that. So why wouldn't I continue to do this?
Right, right. Well, I'm very happy with what you're doing. I wish Robert Brown lived closer to South Carolina, or else I'd bring him out here more. We've had him here, I think, three times in the past 5 years. So it's been great to have him, you know, come speak. And you know, if we get a chance, maybe we can bring both you guys out here. Maybe we can ask Mark Meckler to show up at a debate here in South Carolina.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen though. I was down there in Charleston in December for my niece's wedding, and it's a nice area to visit. And if Meckler decides he wants to man up, happy to be there. And Robert and I think, have slightly different styles, and we really work well together. I'm looking forward to it.
That's great. That's great. Well, anything else you'd like to say for people that are listening? You know, give them some words of encouragement, or I guess in Nevada, you guys actually rescinded your calls for a convention, right?
Yes, in 2017, we passed Senate Joint Resolution 10 with two unanimous subcommittee votes and two unanimous floor votes that took out 10 pending Article 5 calls, one all the way back to 1901. And it actually wasn't that hard. We just kind of made the rounds. One thing I would encourage your membership to consider is, I know that several other leaders in this movement against Article 5 deception have a lot of really good material that is technically correct. But what I've personally learned in my lobbying efforts is to keep it simple. When I go and watch people go talk about the new state's constitution and what a threat that is, rightly or wrongly, people think, oh my gosh, there's a conspiracy theory people. And even if it's true, and we know such a draft does exist, their minds just aren't ready to absorb that. But if you keep it simple, like, you know, when a car is speeding, do you change the limit of the speed limit, or do you write a ticket and enforce the speed limit? When your spouse cheats on you in a marriage, do you go to your minister and get counseling or get divorced, or do you change your wedding vows? I mean, it's really that simple. And never, and Robert is hard on this, and he's got the really good references. Mm-hmm. Never did the founders say change the Constitution to enforce it. Never.
Right. Well, it's so obvious that the problem we have in this country is that congressmen do not obey the Constitution. And until we get back to that, we're just going to continue to have the dysfunction that we're having, you know, right now. But it starts with you and me, and it starts with other people that are listening to this. We have to be the referees that get these people to obey the Constitution. And if we can't figure that out, we'll never get back on track.
Well, Evan, I think referee is a very good word. I was blessed to learn years ago when I met Robert about his Power 500 that he kind of pioneered, and that JBS has kind of taken up as what seems to be more of a core program they're looking at. I see it on the website more, where he had, I think he said now it was only actually 200 really active JBS people up there that would go around and follow his congressman assertively but respectfully before there were votes, educate him with the scorecard on, okay, here's the Constitution, here's your votes, here's how they don't line up. And in 6 months, he went, or less than 6 months, I think, he went from 50% constitutional to 90%. And yeah. I learned in my state of Nevada, with our 17 counties, I spent 2 years going around. I'm the resolutions committee chairman for the state party, so I have experience in this, and tried to get a system built where we could pass resolutions and the same resolution on core issues, Second Amendment, concealed carry, reciprocity, things like this. Mm-hmm. And I actually got my congressman to agree to me. He says, well, if you get all these counties to pass this, I am a Republican, I'll have to listen. What really was disheartening, and this is where the Patriots being engaged come in, is we had our first alert. It was a big 2A issue. We sent it out. There was supposed to be a 72-hour response time. There were checklists, processes. It was all coordinated. 2 weeks later, I only had four of 17 counties had even taken up the resolution. And I went to my congressman that says, you're a good guy and we're trying, but we just couldn't get it done for you. But I think it's better to engage forcefully, but respectfully ahead of time. It seems like patriots, and I've been guilty of this in the past myself, is we love to flog our legislators when they screw up, but yes. we don't spend time with them, mentoring them ahead of time. And we need to stop. We need to be polite, but we need to stop asking for permission. In our Nevada Constitution, and I'm sure other states have it, there's actually a passage that says that we have a right to instruct our state legislators. I mean, how powerful is that if you understand it?
Yeah. And we have to know how to instruct if we're going to, you know, be the ones that do that. And that's it's great to know all that you're doing in Nevada, and you know, the fact that you helped rescind the calls for an Article 5 convention. You've actually, didn't your state legislature deem that it was fraud, what was you know, pushed on them, and they just didn't understand what they were passing? Isn't that sort of the wording that they put in there?
Several years ago, there were some Ron Paul people that actually I met when I got involved in the party that were fighting Article 5 before I ever got involved in politics. Mm-hmm. And they shared with me, it was from 1989, and I shared it with Robert, and it's now part of his slide presentations. It wasn't an actual rescission of an Article 5 petition, because only, you know, it takes both houses, if they pass a resolution, it takes both to rescind it. Mm-hmm. But our assembly in Nevada in 1989 essentially came out clearly, and it was a BVA application, and they clearly said it was by fraud. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, those of you that know the Constitution are very familiar with that it's a very specific enumerated level of tasks, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And if you follow Article 1, Section 8, and Robert and I have talked about this, is I think it's an anywhere from a 70 to potentially 80% budget cut if we follow the issues. And that's why we don't want a BBA, because then it becomes about the dollars in and out, and it actually legitimizes all the usurpation and spending where we now violate the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Sean, if Mark Meckler makes a trip to Columbia this year, Columbia, South Carolina, and if he's at the committee meeting, I'm going to make sure members of the John Birch Society let the committee know that Mark has not volunteered to show up to this debate yet. So if that happens, maybe that'll add some pressure to him.
Yes, and Robert and I will get something to you for later, because he shared it with me. I think it's very important that he's been lying for years about that he won't debate anybody, but he said he will debate somebody. And there's a chronology there back and forth. The guy I think is seeing his career dissipation lights start to flash. He's just been rattled on interviews lately. He's changing his story. He's lying to all kinds of people, and we're catching it. And we just need to keep pressing them. You know, I love Sun Tzu's Art of War book. It's when your enemy is bigger than you, irritate him. It always works.
I've read the book, but I couldn't recall that. But that's a good strategy. Well, you know, Mark's resorted to buying, you know, or to renting. What did he have? He had a Ferrari at the recent convention for the Turning Point USA organization. So he's resorted to buying or to renting nice shiny things to get people interested in the conventional states project. So I think we're winning just because he's had a resort to stuff like that.
He's a huckster. And for your people that are in the local Charleston area, there are a little tidbit that you might want to have some fun with. If you want to Google the Greater Houston Community Foundation and find their IRS Form 990, where they donated money to COS in 2011 or 2012, I think it was. And they run an address. They run through an address that's in Charleston, South Carolina. Years ago, when I was down there visiting some family, I actually went to this address, and it's like a townhouse, and I knocked on the door. The lady didn't know what I was talking about or who I was. Then I went to the city and county of Charleston and tried to secure a look at the permits that be required for this type of a corporation to transfer money, and they did not exist. So at the very least, there's something fishy there. I wasn't able to prove what it was, but from the very start, they've been terrible. They delay their IRS filings, Convention of States does, for at least a year. It's automatic. That way we're a year behind, finding where their money comes from and who's getting paid. And it's just terrible.
Now you caught me off guard with that, what you just said about the Greater Houston Committee. Can you say that again? What exactly did they do?
I think it's called the Greater Houston Community Foundation. They're like a, in quotes, conservative charity type thing, possibly connected to the Koch brothers and all. But there's also a group called the Texas Policy Institute down in Texas that is a think tank /PAC that's given a lot of money to COS. They had a line item that listed money being given to Convention of States Action, which, for your people that don't know, the actual legal term is John Hancock Committee for the States. It's a Texas LLC. Convention of States is their doing business name. So I looked that up and just said, well, wait a minute, we got significant amounts of money being transferred to an address. So I knocked on the door. Nobody knew down there who these people were, and none of the permits that would be required for that type of fund or whatever to exist in Charleston had been filed at the county.
Did the people that answered the door, were they pretending not to know, you think, or did they not even know?
She was a very nice lady that was, I believe, she said she was renting, and she says, she got a little nervous. She probably thought I was an investigator for who knows who, and I understood that. But she says, Convention of States. She says, I have no clue who these people are. But anyway, that's just a distraction.
That's interesting.
The main point is, the state of South Carolina has a robust history in standing up for state sovereignty, and you're right to use that word. And I'm just glad that there's fellow Americans down there that are interested to participate in calls like this, to get out and work and get out and email and call your legislators, because the states are the proper way to prevent constitutional usurpation. And they need your courage and protection to stand up to the federal government. And even if they don't stand up and push back, just to simply say no and not take any more would be a good start. But we got to do that before, instead of yelling at them after the bad votes.
Right. Well, thank you, Sean, for being part of this conference call. I'm going to stop the recording. We'll go into the Q&A session. Everybody listening to this, if you're listening to this on the Bercher podcast, please share this and enlighten people to what's really going on, and get more people to focus on what Sean's doing and what the John Birch Society is doing. Sean, what website do people go to learn more about what you're doing?
GuardTheConstitution.com, all one word.
It's very easy. GuardTheConstitution.com. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we're going to go to the Q&A session, so I'm going to stop the recording.